Annika Sorenstam was the LPGA's Player of the Year in 1995, and over the next 10 years, she earned that distinction 7 more times. She is a Hall of Famer, and on one especially unlikely day in 2001, she shot a 59. I wonder if she lies awake nights thinking about how it could have been a 58. Anyway, when she retired at the end of 2008, Annika Sorenstam was certainly the face of women's golf. She may have been the face of women's sports, and she joins me now from WUCF in Orlando, Florida, where she lives. Annika Sorenstam, welcome back to Only a Game.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You had 89 professional wins, including 10 LPGA major tournaments. You were the first LPGA golfer to reach career earnings of more than $20 million. You became a household name in the process of accomplishing those things, but I'd like to have you tell us how you first came to play golf while growing up in Sweden.
Well, sure. I mean, when you think of Sweden, you might not think of golf. We're known for ABBA, we're known for Swedish meatballs, maybe, you know, soccer and ice hockey. But golf is really a big sport. It's one of the top five sports in the country. So I was introduced to the game by my parents, and we lived about 5 minutes from a golf course. And to be honest, in the beginning, I thought it was a little slow. It felt like a game for older people. I was involved with tennis, and I played soccer and everything that had to do with the ball, but also downhill skiing. So I did all kinds of sports growing up, but golf was just something that my parents really enjoyed, and my sister and I would go out there and see our parents and just putt a little bit, hit a little bit, but it took a while before we really got interested in the game.
How old were you when your parents decided it was time for you to start playing golf?
Well, they introduced us early. As a matter of fact, my mom, she claims that I got my rhythm when she was pregnant with me because she was playing golf then. So she claims that I got the rhythm early on. But it wasn't until probably the age of 12 where I went to a junior camp for the first time and really got an established handicap. And that's, you know, when I learned, you know, the true fundamentals of the game. And really that's kind of where it sparked my interest.
You've earned just about every golfing honor, but despite your success, you've never appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now, last week, I spoke with Terry McDonald, the editor of the Sports Illustrated group and the man responsible for choosing the cover subjects, and he apologized for the omission. When I speak to Mr. McDonald again, can I tell him that you accept his apology?
Yes, please tell him that. I mean, they really don't have a lot of women on the cover, so... But, you know, I'm still involved in the game. I just don't compete. So if they want to have, still not too late. So you can tell them that.
I will. I'll pass that along. When you retired at the end of the 2008 season, you said you and your husband, Mike McGee, wanted to begin a family. So tell us a little bit about your daughter, Ava Madeline.
Yep, Ava Madeline. She's 14 months now, and she's certainly the joy of our life. I mean, she is my grand slam. I'm enjoying every minute with her. To see her experience every day, it's just it's so much fun. And taking her on the golf course a few times, and she loves it. She has a golf bag, shoes, and balls, and hats, and she's ready. It's fun to just see her. I mean, she's more waving the club and putting the ball in her mouth at this time. But, as far as introducing her seriously to the game, it really will be up to her. But my goal is to be supportive and be there for her.
Your charitable organization, the Annika Foundation, focuses on children's health and nutrition and provides resources for junior golfers. Tell us about some of the foundation's recent projects.
That is correct, yes. I mean, for many years I've been giving out scholarships, awards to junior girls and boys just to inspire them to play the game. And then when I stepped away from competition about 2 years ago, we started the Annika Invitational, which is a junior tournament for girls around the world. Last year, we had 14 different nations represented, and it was 72 girls, up to the age of 18. And it's we teach them the importance of eating right and being active and so forth. So things that I think are very important to live healthy and active. A few months ago, we gave out 5 different grants to schools here in the Orlando area to make sure that they have physical education programs in school, because unfortunately they're taking it off the schedule. So I'm excited about this. I'm passionate about it. And it's just amazing to see these kids smile when they can be active and feel good.
It's probably not fair to blame the decline in the number of LPGA events on your retirement, although there were 34 such events in 2008, 27 of them in 2009, and 24 of them this year. What does account for that decline?
Well, first of all, it's sad to see the decline. I think that the last few years have been tough. A lot of sponsorships dollar has been cut, and So it's unfortunate, because I must say that the product, the players, they're playing great golf. We have an international flavor of players, and the girls are very approachable, and it's been hard to see. These girls are making a living, and they've worked very, very hard to get there, and now it's a little tougher for them. But I do believe in the product, and we have a new commissioner, and I'm thinking that he's going to direct the tour in a better direction. And when the economy turns around, I think the LPGA is in a good place. The fan base is still there. It's just we got to get back to getting some of the companies to sponsor the tour. But it's a tough situation right now.
You were very active in trying to get golf included in the Olympics, and it will be in the 2016 Games in Brazil. Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I was ambassador together with Jack Nicklaus, and I actually went to Geneva this past June to present it to IOC why golf should be an Olympic sport, and it was quite the experience. It's a tough crowd, but I think golf has so much to offer. It really does, and I think it will do a lot for the game as well. Golf is a big sport here, but it's only so much more it can grow. So obviously, the goal is to get the best players to compete. I think it'll be really, really exciting. And, I look back in my career and, something that I don't have is a gold medal or silver or bronze Olympic medal. A lot of athletes can say that in their own sport, but not in golf. So it will be exciting to follow when it does take place in 2016.
Well, you said it's not too late for Sports Illustrated to put you on the cover. Maybe it's not not too late for you to be an Olympian from Sweden or from the U.S. I'm not sure which country you'd represent at this point.
Well, maybe that will be my in.
There was a lot of fanfare back in 2003 when you played in a men's tournament, the PGA's Bank of America Colonial in Fort Worth. You missed the cut in that tournament, but are you glad you tried to play with the male golfers? And do you think other women on the LPGA Tour should try that?
I am very, very glad that I did that. I look back in my career, and it's probably one of the highlights. For me, it was really just a personal challenge. I wanted to play with the best golfers in the world. I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to really put my game out there and see what I was made out of. I learned a lot about myself, a lot about my game. So it really helped me on so many levels. And as far as other women competing on the men's tour, we've seen it a few times with Michelle Wee, and I think we'll see it on occasion, but not something regularly. There is a big difference in our golf games, obviously for some natural reasons.
And now you're raising a little girl, you're traveling around the world still playing lots of golf, running several businesses, or being involved at least in several businesses, so about as busy as anybody could possibly be. But are there times when you miss the kind of competition provided on the LPGA Tour?
The honest answer is no. I do not miss it at all. I have not looked back. There's so much more to life than competing, and I'm very happy I stepped away. I'm enjoying another part of life that I just haven't experienced before. And I look back at my career, and I'm very happy what I've achieved, and nothing is going to make me as content as I am. So now I can put my energy and my passion into other areas.
Annika Sörenstam, whose resume lacks nothing but an appearance on the cover of Sports Illustrated, joined me from WUCF in Orlando. Annika, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Jack Flagler is our intern. We had help this week from WUCF in Orlando, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Doug Tribou's really tiny Sprint football pictures or Karen's predictably big Dallas photo gallery, subscribe to the Only a Game podcast, listen to archived shows and stories, or learn more about our weekly music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from winemaker and fun lover Annika Sorenstam.
And we created the concept Wine, Nine, and Dine.
I would think most people would like to play 18, but wouldn't it be mean for me to make a scene about that distinction? I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
If it makes you feel sad, and I understand, you've come to shake my hand. I apologize.
Support comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org. And FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the effectiveness of charitable giving at fjc.org. This is NPR.